Let's get into the Word of God together. And if you've got a Bible with you, be it a paper copy, I'm a bit booming up here. If someone can maybe just come on, let's. How many paper copies in the house this morning? Come on, let's see. Oh, not yeah. How many digital copies in the house this morning? Oh, times are changing. All right, I like me old school here. So we're going to get into the Word of God together. We're going to continue the series that we begun, which is Messages in the Miracles. And the last week was such a great start, and it was a brilliant service. I'm excited by this series because I do have a real sense, and I have had this sense in my heart now for a while that kind of sparked this series, that God is wanting to do something in the era of fueling fresh faith in us. And that in doing so, I believe that God is going to both do. The sense I had was that God was saying, I'm going to build and rebuild. I'm going to build and rebuild expectation levels for any number of reasons. You know, you may be new to the faith, but I pray this series encourages you and builds it. You may have been going at it for a long time. You may be in a place where some things you've believed God for haven't worked out. And I wanna walk this series with a sensitivity to that, because I'm really not a fan of the message it can do a tremendous amount of harm, which just sort of says, well, that didn't work out because you didn't have enough faith. And that can be a really damaging message. But by the same token, I also recognize in my life, and maybe you do in yours, there are also areas where we do need to increase in our faith and grow in our faith. Jesus does say on many occasions, doesn't he, through the Gospels, according to your faith. And so God is sovereign, and so he always retains the right to, I guess you could say, overrule and decide, and he has the long-term plan in mind, and we're locked in the moment, and you know, he knows what he's doing. I believe that he has a plan. I believe that he will bring good out of even messy and horrible situations, even though that doesn't make them easy at the time. And so I don't want to be insensitive, like bulldozing my way through. People are thinking, oh, I'm discouraged. He's just saying I haven't got enough faith. I don't want to do that because I recognize these other things are at play. But I do also want to say there are definitely times when, I don't know about you, but I say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. There are areas where I recognize I do need to grow in my faith, and that actually faith is a currency of heaven and it does cause things to happen, and that actually it's important that we want to grow in our faith, because I don't know about you, but I want to see more of the miraculous. I want to see more breakthrough. I want to see things happening. When I say miraculous, don't lock that down, please, just into physical healing. But I'm talking miraculous across the board. God working miracles in many ways and doing many miraculous things. And so, wow, that was a bit of an opener. I had 4 bullet points, and I don't know how long that just took me. But anyway, I felt it was important just to lay the foundation. I'm really struggling with boom, and I don't know if anyone else is or if that's just me. But if we can try and get the boom off, that would be great. Be booming beautiful. Thank you. So, Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, so I may call him Simon today, I may call him Peter, I may call him Simon Peter, just for the record, it's all the same fella, okay? He asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Now, I'll touch on this in a moment, but we read it as one flowing sentence here. I just wonder if there may have been a long pause at that point. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. What I love perhaps most about this miracle is not just how it happened, but when it happened. Not just how, but when it happens. See, the first thing I want to draw our attention to this morning is this, that it's interesting that Jesus chose to come to Simon Peter at a time when expectation levels were running low. He came to talk to him about catching fish at a very time when his expectation levels were arguably perhaps on the floor, running low for two reasons. One, the previous night's experience. Secondly, his natural thinking. Verse 5 tells us, "Master, we toiled hard all night and we caught nothing." Paraphrase, "Jesus, you're a great preacher. I mean, I love that word that you preached from my boat. It was brilliant. But I'm a professional fisherman. Maybe you do the preaching, I'll do the fishing." It's not going to work. We've just bust a gut all through the night and we've caught nothing. But there it is. "At your word, I will let down the nets." Maybe a long pause. You see, that thinking, his first reaction was an entirely natural one. He literally knew it would take a miracle to catch fish under these circumstances at this time of day. You'd have heard this said before, but let me remind you, every fisherman knew you didn't fish in the deep in the heat of the day. You fished in the shallows by night. And so his natural thinking, "Oh, Master, we've toiled all night in the perfect conditions for catching fish and we've turned up nothing. Now you're asking us to do something that doesn't logically make sense. I don't know." How many people know that the truth is, friends, that negative experiences and natural thinking can often cause pessimistic thoughts? Hello? Do for me. Negative experiences, natural thinking, can often cause us to think first pessimistic thoughts rather than faith ones. So before we sit in our chair and say, "Oh, come on, Simon Peter, you should have had more faith," I think we need to kind of cut the guy some slack, because actually Jesus picked a really bad day to approach him. You know, normally, I don't know how it goes in your house, but normally if one of us has had a bad day and we know it's a bad day, it's like, give them a bit of a wide berth. Pick your moments when you want to say what you want to say and when you want to bring it up. If I was advising Jesus, I'd been one of the other guys and I saw him, I'd be, "Oh, Jesus, just leave it today. He's had a really bad night. He's toiled all night. This is his livelihood. He's caught nothing. He's disappointed. It's been a rubbish night. He's frustrated. He's shattered." You could literally say, at this point in time, he has given up on catching fish, and maybe he'll push it off, obviously, to another day. His nets are washed. His boats are docked. And in fact, we see a whole scene that you could say, really, sort of reading between the lines, I should imagine, is quite charged with frustration, because we've got fishermen who have caught no fish, and so that's no like food on the table, you know, no kind of paying the bills. We've also got a whole crowd who are so large in size, they're actually struggling to get to see Jesus. They're struggling to get to hear Jesus. That's the inference that we read between the lines, because Jesus is like, "I'm going to need a boat just to get some distance between me and the side of the crowd so they can see me and hear me." And so we've got this whole scene, I think, kind of charged with frustration. And so that is kind of into that. Jesus intentionally picks this day of all days to come to Simon Peter. See, this is the bottom line that I want us to catch in the first point. It's often in our lowest times and at our weakest points, God chooses to do his greatest work. It's often at our lowest times and our weakest points that God chooses to do his greatest work. You see, I want you to be encouraged today by this message. God's ability to work a miracle on your situation doesn't depend on you feeling like you're flying. It doesn't depend on that. You see, how many of us would have gone and said to ourselves, the good conditions for a miracle are when I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed and I'm weary and worn out and I've brought my nets in and I've washed them and I've docked my boat and I feel like giving up, praise God, there's going to be a miracle. No, because we don't see that as the kind of perfect conditions for a miracle. Yet, friends, I've found this testimony to be true so many times in my life. In fact, some of it's too personal for me even to bring into a message. Often, it's just when I feel like giving up that God shows up. And they've given up that night, and then God shows up. I heard a great quote the other day. It said this: God often reserves his greatest glory for our lowest points. Now, why is that? Because maybe it's so we know who did it. You know, oh, Simon Peter, come on, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come. Do you want to go fishing again? Yeah, I'll go fishing again. Jesus, when do you want to go? Let's go tonight in the shallows. No problem. He knew that. That's safe. He knew he could catch there. He pulls in a great catch. He's not going to go, oh, this is because of Jesus. This is just Simon Peter doing his thing. But maybe it's so we know who did it, and maybe it's so all the credit goes to the right place. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, the Apostle Paul testifies to that. But he, God, said to me, my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective. Listen to that. They show themselves most effective in your weakness. What an encouragement. Therefore, I, Paul says, will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. How beautiful is that? Yet there can be circumstances in our life and situations when we feel like we've fished all night. We've given it everything, all our energy and strength. We've done all we can. The nets are empty, and we struggle because we've not seen what we desire. We feel like pulling our boat up to the shore, giving up and walking away from that prayer that we've been praying, from that person, from that relationship, from that situation. Maybe we pull our boat up and say, Lord, I give up on praying for this prodigal because I've been going at it for years, and my son or my daughter's away from God, and the nets are still empty. Or we're praying for a situation to change or a breakthrough, and we just say, God, I feel like pulling my boat up. I feel like washing my nets. I feel like kind of giving up. But friends, this story is a huge encouragement not to quit. But actually, for your expectation levels to be encouraged, because you see, what the very place that we find ourselves in, which we think, oh, this is awful to feel like this, you would have heard it said before, but it's often just as we come to the end of ourselves that God steps in. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we've done all we can do, and we just like, oh, I give up. And that's because that's when miraculous stuff happens, because miracles are all God. And so actually, sometimes we do have to come to the end of ourselves because we want to do what we can naturally do, and we want to try and remedy it how we want to naturally kind of work things out. And you know, as I said earlier on, I think if all things are possible with Jesus, could he have worked a stunning catch in the shallows? Of course he could. But the truth of the matter is, friends, you don't need the same faith in the shallows that you need in the deep. So actually, when you're in deep water, that's when the kind of faith that Jesus wants to encourage begins to see amazing things begin to happen. As captain of his boat, Simon Peter learned actually to surrender control and to trust Jesus is joy. Secondly, coming to the end of ourselves doesn't mean doing nothing. You know, miracles do often require something of us. They are conditional. There's a clear sense here that actually for Simon Peter, it required obedience. It required trust. It required willingness. Even when we don't understand what's going on. God, I don't know why it's the way it is, but I'll just keep going. Just going to keep obeying, going to keep trusting you, going to keep showing and just being willing. Friends, something really happens when in our heart we just keep saying, Lord, I just want to partner with you. That's what Jesus was requiring of Simon Peter. Will you partner with me? Because Jesus wanted to get the word out. He wanted to reveal who he was, and he wanted to reveal what he could do. And so he needed a boat. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't need a boat. I mean, Matthew 14, he's walking on water. So if he wants to kind of put a bit of distance between him and the crowd, and if he really wants to get their attention, why not just walk out there, Jesus? Turn back and face the crowd and then preach. I'm pretty sure you're going to have the crowd's attention if you do that. But he says to Simon Peter, I want your boat. Will you push out? When he's looking for a way to reveal who he is and show people what he can do, he looks for a boat. He didn't need a boat. He chose to use a boat. There's real significance in that because to Simon Peter, his boat wasn't just a boat. It represented his life. It represented his livelihood. And it's funny when you read this, and I heard this, so I'm not taking credit for it, but it's funny when you read this that, have you ever noticed, on that first occasion, Jesus don't even ask permission to get in his boat. He just gets in. And this guy was saying, I kind of think that's pretty illegal, really. And he was saying, no conversation, no agreement, no loan or anything. And he said this, he said, I'd encourage you, give a modern day version of that a go. He said, go out to the car park, find the nicest car you can find. Go and sit in it without the owner's permission and ask for the keys. He said, and see how it goes. This was a real statement moment. Because Jesus was actually saying this, Simon Peter, I want to use you. I want to use you to get the word out of who I am. I want to reveal who I am and what I can do through you. Give me a push, Simon. Simon the fisherman, the rough and ready working class guy with no education, not a high flyer, someone at this point in time who is frustrated and full of doubts. And Jesus says, I want to use you. I want to do miraculous things in your life to reveal who I am. Friends, the truth is, as we sit here this morning, whatever our background or culture, our level of education, the type of person we are, the kind of person we are, the level of doubts and frustration in our life, none of that disqualifies us from Jesus using us. He wants to reveal who he is in and through your life. He doesn't have to, he chooses to. Miraculous things happening through ordinary lives to reveal who he is. So the question for you this morning is really a simple one. Will you give Jesus your boat? Will you offer it to him? Verse 3 tells us he asked him to put out a little from the land. Now he's asking. First he's jumped in, but now he's asking him. Verse 4-6, and he asked him to cast out his nets. Because faith is really obedience, and God always blesses obedience. It's pushing the boat out and throwing the nets, even when you've got doubts and you're frustrated, even when things haven't previously gone well, even when you've maybe got a little bit of attitude like Simon Peter had, even when you're weary, even when you don't understand it or you don't feel like it, when you're able to say, Master, we've worked hard all night, but at your word. You know, friends, some of us in this series, we just need to begin to hear the word come in again. Just hear the word. Because sometimes in frustration, I don't know about you, but when I'm frustrated and disappointed and people like talk to me, I don't really hear what they're saying. It kind of like bounces. Or I say, I don't want to hear it. You know, if Claire's sort of saying to me, look, your attitude's not very good. I don't want to hear it right now. But we need to hear the word. But at your word, thank God he heard Jesus' voice. I don't know anything else that's going to cause your faith to grow and encourage you more than staying close to Jesus and hearing his voice. That is everything. When you choose to say, I trust you more than how I feel, it's so powerful in what it triggers. And what Jesus really extends to him is an invitation. Do you want to do this, Simon Peter? Do you want to push it out? It's up to you. No pressure. Cast your nets. It's up to you. No pressure. I mean, I kind of even wondered, you know, there's two boats that are docked there. What happens if Simon Peter had said no? I don't know in my mind if maybe Jesus said, okay, just go and get in the other one and ask that guy. Because he's always looking for a way to get his word out. He's always looking for ordinary people through whom he can reveal who he is and what he can do. But if he'd said no to Jesus, just look on what he'd have missed out on. He was on the edge of something incredible. Thank God he said yes. That's my third point. Never underestimate the power of your yes. Yes, Jesus, I will push out. Yes, Jesus, I will cast the net. Even when you don't feel like it. If ever there's a guy who teaches us that a yes to Jesus can take you on a journey you've never imagined of, it's Simon Peter. I'll come back to that in a moment. When Jesus finds people who are willing to turn over their boat and just say, yes. Yes, all I am is yours. It's yours. It's everything, my life. Great things begin to happen. It was surrender. And the most exciting thing for him wasn't like all the fish in the boat. I mean, if you're a professional fisherman, this is like this is like what you dream of, the stuff you dream of. You know, the boats are like sinking, literally. The catch is so big. And yet, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he leaves that all behind to follow Jesus. He gives everything up. Where did it come from? Just a yes. And Jesus took him places and done things through his life he couldn't have dreamed of. I'll touch on them in a moment. But I want you to see that it was only after they obeyed the boats were full, not before. The evidence came after. Amplified version says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. I don't know about you, but I'm coming towards my last point. I don't know about you, but naturally, I like a little bit of evidence or a little bit of encouragement to kind of, you know, we're like that. It's the kind of the way we are. You know, you kind of, someone sort of just like a little tease or something to kind of encourage you on the way. I mean, Wendy preached on the, you know, the walls of Jericho last week, you know, and I've often thought to myself many times, if I was in that company walking around, I'd have sure appreciated if God could have just whacked the crack or something through them walls, you know, as I was walking around, or just caused a brick to tumble or something like that, or, you know, one of the guards on the top just to shake a little bit and like something's happening. Nothing. I mean, it's not even like, you know, we're not even told anything like, he's like, oh, I've got a little one, I think it's going to happen, you know, nothing. Because, friends, miracles don't come before faith and obedience. They follow after them. And if he'd have said no, he'd have missed all this out. So say yes, because Jesus is looking for people to partner with. People who push out and trust him, even miss frustration, disappointment, and doubt. Don't stay in the shallows and settle for less. Say yes and go deeper and see what Jesus can do. I love what Nicky Gumbel says. He says, Peter not only caught a big catch of fish, he caught a big vision of what Jesus can do. He was astonished. That word there means to be rendered immovable in amazement. That's not just like that was pretty cool, Jesus. That is like, I just kind of sensing something in my heart that really in these last few weeks that like Jesus just wants to begin to capture a fresh vision of potential and possibilities. The potential and possibilities that there are with him. Nicky Gumbel goes on to say, they'd not caught any fish, but there were plenty to catch. You know, because of what had happened to Simon Peter, he couldn't see them. Thankfully, Jesus could. He knew they were there. There were said to be so many shoals of fish in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus saw the potentials and possibilities. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Jesus saw what was possible. Miraculous things begin to happen when we trust what Jesus says and sees more than we trust what we say and see. And I don't pretend that's easy. But I do believe it's a key. Staying close to him. What are you saying, Jesus? What are you seeing? But at your word, I will let down the nets. I just know if I don't stay close to Jesus, quickly my feelings start to call the shots. I need to stay close to him because Romans 10 verse 17, I need to hear him, tells me faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Who is the word of God? Jesus. That day when Jesus got out on that boat and preached the word, that wasn't just someone preaching a sermon. They encountered the word in flesh. And his world's rocked. I'm coming to my last one. His world's rocked. He begins to see the potential and possibilities with Jesus are huge. He begins to see, as Wendy encouraged us last week, that we have to believe there is more than we presently see. And as he first lends him his boat and says, yeah, I'll push out, he's thinking, I'm lending Jesus my boat for like the length of a sermon. But from that place, what he didn't know, that yes to Jesus, would make him want to give up everything and live for him and follow him. would cause him to spend the next 3 years following Jesus, seeing lives transformed, people set free, saved, healed, countless miracles. He didn't know that 3 years later he'd preach a sermon that would see 3,000 people saved. And he didn't know that some 2,000 years later, after that sermon, 2 billion plus people would be professing the name of Jesus in the world. The power of a yes. We'll never really know what God can do and will do until we turn over our boat. Lastly, I wanted to say this to us today as I finish. Ben, perhaps you can just come back, please. What God wants to do in you is for you, but it's bigger than just you. Can I say that to you again? What God wants to do in you is for you, but it's also bigger than just you. By the way, Em, the anthem for this series is going to become Waymaker. So if I've called you out of the side room looking after your little son and in a panic thinking, oh no, he wants another song and he's chucked me under the bus at the last minute, I'm sorry for that, but we'll have Waymaker, please. Thank you. verse 7. Let me just come to that. Verse 7. They signaled to their partners in the boat to come up and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so they began to sink. It's bigger than just Simon Peter. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish and they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. One man's yes that triggered a miracle, touched the lives of those who were around him. Through one man's connection with Jesus, countless lives were touched. Jesus wants to work miracles in your life that touches the lives of those around you. Both boats were full. It wasn't just Simon Peter who got blessed that day. His whole work crew got blessed that day. Those around him got blessed. One man's yes triggered something much bigger. It revealed Christ. It showed his glory. The crowd who had been around Jesus just heard Jesus preach. But Simon Peter and everyone connected to him didn't just hear Jesus preach. They saw the power of God at work and displayed among them. And he falls at his knee. He just sees the holiness and the power of Jesus, and he sees the sinfulness in his own life, and he just falls at his knees. Friends, let's believe, all I can say to you as we finish and the band begins, let's believe for miracles that reveal Christ. Let's believe for miracles that reveal who he is and what he can do, and that can be multifaceted miracles. The revelation of Christ, let's believe for miracles that cause a revelation of Christ that's so powerful it causes people to fall to their knees. Give up everything and follow him. It was a fisherman's dream day. He'd landed the big, big catch. They were quids in. Yet these guys leave the fish on the beach. They leave their boats. They leave their boats, their job, sorry. They leave their former lives. They leave everything. And so, as I read that, I thought, you know, I cannot force that in anyone. I cannot make that happen in any person's life. I cannot make someone want to follow Jesus. I cannot make someone pull up their boats and their nets and leave their jobs and go after him and follow him. I cannot make someone just kind of, you know, get them out of their frustration and disappointment and those kind of feelings. I cannot make someone feel refreshed because they're tired and weary. There's only one person who can. There's only one person who can do it. You can't force it. And I'm just sold and settled on this. It's only a revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do that can change that situation. In the miracle, they encountered Christ. It wasn't just, oh, that's pretty cool, and we all go about our normal day business and slip back to it. It was like, oh my days, this is who Jesus is. I'll go for everything. Why don't we stand to our feet as we sing this song? The miracle pointed them to Jesus. And here they stand with all these fish. They're blessed. In a moment, they see who Jesus is and that greater blessings lay ahead. And I recently heard it said that Peter never stood on the day of Pentecost to preach to 3,000 people and thought, man, I really miss those fish. Because of all he saw God do in his life. And I want to believe for miracles that become launching pads for relationships with Jesus. and lives that are sold out for him. Miracles that take us from Jesus, you can have my boat, to Jesus, you can have my heart, and you can have it all. So my question to you this morning as we finish is, will you let Jesus use your boat? You don't have to. It's entirely up to you. There's an invitation. You don't have to, but just know this. He really wants to take you deeper. He really wants to show you what he can do. And he really wants you to be encouraged today. Wherever you're at, however you feel, push out and cast the nets again. Because my Jesus, your Jesus, is the one who can do astonishing things. Amen. Amen. Amen.